Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to start a new series called The Believer's Authority. And I believe this is going to be a very exciting series. Now, of course, I know we say that every time, but yet we also believe that every series is very exciting. And we know this because we know the Word of God is exciting, right?
That's sweetheart? True. That is true.
And so as we usually do, as my custom is, I like to start off with introducing and giving my sweetheart, you know, a moment here to share some things that's on her heart and introduce herself. Because, you know, we don't always know who's listening for the first time. And so we always want to, you know, follow a kind of a pattern or routine, as well as the things at the end that we do in giving people the opportunity to come to the Lord to receive Him if they have not been born again. So without further ado, let me introduce my beautiful and wonderful and amazing wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. We are so grateful that the Lord gave us the opportunity to finish, well, actually to do 7 parts of the prior topic, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we are truly expecting to hear great things from you. So please remember to reach out to us. You can find our email as well here for the podcast. We'd love to hear what God is doing in your life. And now we are excited because not only are we learning about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this is for believers, remember, this is for you, listener, if you already gave your heart to the Lord, this is something that has been paid for you. And now to learn about the authority, I know that we are only going to continue to be blessed. Please do not forget, do not keep this to yourself. Also share it and let somebody else be enriched as you have been and will continue to.
Amen, sweetheart. I appreciate it. Always you joining in on our podcast. I don't know what I would do if I had to do this alone. It would be
have more time.
I'd have more time. I think I have plenty of time to share. And but you are an awesome blessing to this.
Thank you.
And, you know, also, you know, we might also let people know that you and your mother have a Spanish podcast that's been going on for quite some time now. And you want to share some information real quick about that and where they can find those at?
Also, also that is true. We once again are blessed with the opportunity that God has given us to use technology to share the Word of God. And it has been so gratifying and such a good thing because we have so many people that come and tell us that they are listening to it and what a difference it has made in their lives. It's once again the Word of God. It's non-adulterated Word of God. So it's really good content. Today, as a matter of fact, we recorded in Spanish. And yes, if somebody would be interested, the way to go would be to contact Casa Jeanette. You can find us on YouTube and reach out, and we will be more than happy to add you to the list of people, the names that are currently receiving these podcasts. And we are working already as we speak on making it available on different platforms so that people all over the world will be able to access it and also enjoy the Word of God and learn and be enriched and discipled. And the idea is to be drawn to Jesus and accept Him if you haven't as Lord. And for those of us who already are Christians, to continue to grow and await the return of our beloved Lord.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. And yeah, I'll add to that, that it's really encouraging and a blessing, you know, when that my wife and her mother, you know, who I call my mommy now, you know, is such a wonderful pair, you know, and even, you know, your mother is a great, awesome woman of God.
She is.
You know, she's full of the Word of God.
That's right.
And, you know, she's been such a great mother to the family, you know, to your brothers as well as to all the grandchildren. Yet, and I'm privileged to call her my mother now, you know, seeing that I have lost my natural mother, you know, a couple years back, and both my mother and, you know, both my parents are gone, and now, you know, I have a new set of parents here with your parents, and that's such a blessing. So thank you for them.
And they love you.
Okay, so with picking up on this subject series, it's going to be multiple parts. There's no doubt about that. And it may be, you know, maybe several. I mean, maybe multiple. I don't know if it's going to go as long as our Gifts of the Holy Spirit series. But it's a very important subject because one is, without the knowledge and understanding of the believer's authority, then we're at a major disadvantage in this world. And I say that because there is an enemy in the world, and most people know this, I mean, Christians know this, that Satan is real. He's not a fake, a fictional character made up by Hollywood. He is a real person. He is a spirit being that is in rebellion against God, and he is here in this earth with a host, an array of demonic forces that's bent on trying to destroy the human race. And we know this because Jesus even testified to that fact in John chapter 10, verse 10, where he said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." So there's a major contrast here between the agenda that Satan has and the agenda that Jesus had and has when he came to the earth. And he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And he came to also destroy the works of the devil. So I want to use that scripture. John 10:10 will be the base scripture, as well as 1 John 3:8. And since I just quoted John 10:10, we'll go ahead and turn to 1 John 3:8. Now, I know I've mentioned this before in other podcasts, but it's going to be very important to capitalize on this. And the reason why this is because there's this belief in the Christian world that all the evil that goes on, it's basically God's responsibility to deal with it because it's beyond our control. Well, there's a certain truth to that, you know, God is all powerful and Satan has a certain limited amount of power. And yet we as human beings in our own ability are incapable of being able to handle spiritual beings of darkness when there's multiple spirits in this world. And we need, you might say, we need a helper, an advantage to be able to help us to do this. And it is through Jesus, because he says here in 1 John 3:8, and I'm going to read it as verbatim, and then, you know, we're going to talk about it. Because it says here, he said, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested." That what? "That he might destroy the works of the devil." This is a scripture that many Christians really need to get down in their spirit. And the reason why is because they accept a lot of mishaps, trouble, all kinds of evil and wickedness in the world into their own lives, thinking that it is the will of God for them. Because they say, well, you know, after all, God is all powerful. And if he's all powerful and this happens to me, then it's because God had purpose for it to happen. You know, that nothing happens outside of the will of God. Well, that's a statement that really needs to be evaluated. And I say that because it has on the surface an appearance of truth. Because the fact is, God permits it, so therefore he allows it. So does that mean he causes it? Does he want it to happen? And some people say, well, yes, because there's nothing that happens on earth that doesn't happen. Everything that happens on the earth happens because God wants it to happen. But that's not true. That's not true at all. We know the scripture that tells us that it's not God's will that any should perish.
That's true.
But many do.
Yes.
Right? And he says, and God is slow to anger, and he's willing for people to come to repentance. He desires for people to be saved. But we know that his desire is not always being met. Right? And it's the same way with many other things. There's a lot of things happening in the earth that isn't God's will but God permits it. So this is where we're also going to have to talk about, and I know we talked about this in one of the previous series, but it needs to be brought up again, and that is, what is the difference between the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God? The perfect will of God is what God desires and God wants to happen. And we're told in 3 John 1:2, where he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So we have a scripture here that tells us that it's God's will for us to prosper and to be in health. But we know that many people are not prospering and they're not in health. And their soul's not even prospering. So why is that happening? Well, there's many different reasons why. But one of those reasons that go along with this topic and the series that we're talking about is because they have not entered into the position of the knowledge of the authority that they have in Christ and exercising that authority. Let me give an example from a practical sense. If you own a house or live in a house, rent a house, and you come home at night and you see, you know, come home from work, and you come in and you see your whole house is all torn up. Now, did you leave it like that when you left? You say, well, no, something must have came in here and tore it all up. Would you just say, well, you know, that's just the way things happen. You know, things just turn upside down, you know, every day. You just never know. You know, a cyclone or a wind must have blown here and must have ripped everything up. But then you get to looking at a lot of things, you find things are just torn to shreds. What would you assume had happened? You would assume some kind of animal got in your house, and I say that because this happened to me once, you know, not just a few years ago. There was an opening, somehow an animal got into my house and started chewing stuff up. And actually, it didn't do a whole lot of damage in terms of, you know, the things of my property, but it decided, you know, it had enough and it wanted to go out and get back out. And for whatever reason, it couldn't figure out how it got in to go back out the same way it came in. So it tried to create a way out. And it started trying to chew through the drywall next to one of the windows.
Oh, my.
And it chewed up a good portion of that drywall. I'm talking about a hole big as a basketball.
That's pretty big.
And I'm thinking, what kind of animal was this? Was this a squirrel? Was this a raccoon? What was this that got in? So I had to do some investigation and see, did the thing get out? Or is it still in my house?
Hmm.
You know, so I went and got me an animal cage because, you know, I got a basement and I got, you know, underneath the basement, there's a lot of dirt and all that. So it's not all finished. And so I didn't know if it tried to dig a tunnel or what it tried to do. So I got a cage and put some bait and all that kind of in and waited a little bit. And I blocked up that spot because it was a block that had come loose in my foundation and it had gotten in that way. Hmm. So I set it so that it could get out, but it couldn't get back in. Well, I come to find out it was actually already gone. So I was thankful for that. But my point I'm bringing that up is this. When the devil comes into a person's life, he comes in like a wild animal. And he will ransack a person's life in every which way that he can. And a lot of people don't even recognize him. And if they even do recognize him, well, they, you know, well, this is something that God permits. Because after all, it's God's responsibility to deal with the devil. You know, and I'm reminded of a vision that Kenneth Hagin had back in 1952, where the Lord was teaching him about demon and demon possession. And while he was talking to him about different facets of, you know, spiritual warfare and battle, a little demon came up and ran between them. This is in a vision. He's standing there talking to the Lord Jesus. And this little demon gets in between them and starts making a lot of racket. And a dark cloud. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus. And he could hardly hear him at all. And the Lord Jesus just kept on talking to him as if that demon was not present. And he's like thinking to himself, doesn't the Lord know what's going on here? Does he know that I can't hear what he's saying? And after a bit of time, he's getting frustrated because he can't hear what the Lord is saying. He decided to take authority over that spirit. And he rebuked it. And he said, you know, he commanded in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to cease in its maneuvers. And he said immediately at once, it collapsed on the floor and it began whimpering like a little whipped pup. And the smoke cloud disappeared. And he looked at the Lord, you know, and it's like in kind of disbelief. And he said, and he commanded it to go and leave. And it got up and took off. And he started to say to the Lord, you know, like, why didn't you do something about that? You know, didn't you know I couldn't hear you? But the Lord answered him before he spoke, and he said, if you hadn't have done something about that, I couldn't have. And he said, now, Lord, I know I didn't hear you right. You didn't say you couldn't have. You meant you wouldn't have, right? He said, no, I said, if you hadn't have done something about that, I couldn't have. And he repeated that a couple of times. And he said, now, Lord, that's different than anything I've ever heard in my whole life. And if that's in the Bible, I said, you know, because he said, you know, about testing the spirits, you know, that even though I'm seeing you in a vision, that you're going to prove to me this thing by the word of God. You know, it says, but every fact be confirmed with two or three witnesses. And the Lord Jesus smiled at him. He said, I'll give you four. And he gave him four passages of scriptures, and I'll go into those a little bit later. But the point was that he was telling him that the authority of the Christian over the devil had been delegated to them by him. And he gave one of the scriptures that he gave was Matthew 28, where he said, all authority and power had been given to me in heaven and earth. He said, I command them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. And so he said, I delegated my authority to the believer. And he made this statement that I found pretty profound. He said, for a Christian to pray, or anyone to pray, for God the Father or me, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do something about the devil, he says, is to waste your time praying. He said, I've done all we're going to do about the devil until the angel comes down and binds him and throws him in the pit. He said, until then, you exercise authority over him in my name. And wow, that statement, just think about that. We've done all we're going to do about the devil until the angel comes down to bind and throws him in the pit. For you to pray and ask God the Father or myself, the Lord Jesus, to do something about the devil is to waste your time praying. And basically, this is what people are doing. They're not just directly saying, oh, Lord Jesus or Father God, please do something about the devil. They'll say, please do something about the evil that's in the world, or the evil that's coming against me. You know, Lord, you take care of that. But yet, the Lord Jesus even told him this also in that same vision. He said there's not one scripture in the New Testament anywhere that tells the Christian believer to pray to God or myself to do something about the devil. And I thought to myself, wow, how come I never saw that before? And I grew up in church, you know, because we're always praying, you know, Lord, you know, you handle, you deal with this or whatever, and we're in your hands, you know, don't allow this to happen, don't allow that to happen. But at the same time is, do we do that when it comes to our house? Like I talked about that little animal, whether it's a squirrel or a raccoon, I don't know what it was that got into my house. But would I do that with my own house? Would I leave the window open at night, and then if something crawled in the window and got into the kitchen and started tearing up all the boxes of cereal and everything that it can get itself into, would I say, God, would you please do something about that? Or would you do something about it? Especially if you came in and you found that wild animal there in your kitchen. Would this be the time to say, okay, well, let me go to my room and put my hands together and get on my knees and pray, Lord, please do something about that wild creature that's in my kitchen, going through all the cabinets and tearing up and getting into all the food or chewing up everything. No, what you would do is go find you a stick, a baseball bat or something, and you would run that thing out of your house and get rid of it. Well, why do we treat the devil the same way? Why wouldn't we treat him the same way that we would treat the wild animal? It's because we think too much spiritually of things in the wrong way, that somehow it is up to God to do something about the devil when he has already told us to do something about it. You say, well, you know, I don't understand that. I don't see the devil. He's not physical. He's not like an animal. We got to deal with the animal because those are things that we can see in the natural. When it comes to evil spirits, we can't see them, so it's up to God to take care of that. Well, no, because Jesus said these signs will follow those who believe. He said this in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And as a matter of fact, he said that this was the first sign he mentioned. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Didn't say pray out demons. He said cast out demons. And Norval Hayes tells a story about this when God began dealing with him about casting out demons. And there was a young lady in the church, and Norval was not accustomed to doing this type of thing. And the Lord spoke to him, sitting back there in the seat, says, all those people, you see that girl up in the altar? I love her, and I want her to be helped. I want you to go up there, and I want you to cast the spirit out of her. And he said, but there's many people up there around her praying right now. Let them deal with it. And he basically said, the Lord told him, he said, you don't pray out devils, you cast out devils. And see, that's something that Christians need to get a hold of. You don't pray out devils. Oh, Lord, please make the devil leave. No, you command him to leave in the name of Jesus. And me and my sweetheart here knows, and I'm going to let her jump in here because I've been talking like continual for the last, 18 minutes. But we have some of these battles at nighttime. And last night we had a few hours of having to fight some spiritual warfare. And we also did it through praise and worship, because that's one of our weapons against the enemy. The enemy is real. And he's not happy, like you said, sweetheart, he's not happy about what we're doing. He's not clapping, excited about the work we're doing for ministry. So he's going to try to stop it if he can. So go ahead and jump in here, sweetheart.
Well, this is so, to say eye-opening is an understatement, because I know that as the listeners, take this in, and as they're listening, I know that the Holy Spirit, if we allow him, will start organizing this information in our spirit, our soul. And I say organizing because sometimes we already have a certain belief in terms of what's God's responsibility, what's my responsibility with evil. And, there's something about everything that you've said, of course, has been very, very insightful, very useful, very applicable. But something came to mind as well I wanted to add, and it's that as you were mentioning that animal just, creating chaos there and devouring and ransacking, sometimes we have a position that's not said that way, but we kind of inside feel, well, everything works for good. Even though this animal is destroying my house, I'm just going to trust that this is what God wants right now, and something good is going to happen from this. And, as you were saying, we truly pray that the Holy Spirit will bring revelation to us, to his children, to Christians, to those who hunger for the word, for the truth, because I think that the enemy has done a lot of harm to Christians because we sometimes are not, we are sometimes kind of more fixing things after it happens, but not with the zeal or the passion that we should be managing, handling things. For example, as you were saying with that animal, some people, what are things, you know, there are things that come in our lives and no, it's not God's will. No, it's not God's will that for that to happen. And it's a shame that we tolerate it, even make accommodation for it and just get used to living with that, whatever it is that the enemy is coming in to steal, destroy, and kill, because we think that it's part of our Christian life, because we are going to have tribulations. The Lord said that, and it's true, we are going to have tribulations, but that doesn't mean that we have to. God never said, I'm going to put you into a boxing ring, just let yourself get beat up. Just don't worry, I have a purpose for it. No, he gave us weapons and he told us that the enemy is defeated and he gave us what we needed to walk in victory. So, you know, if this means to anything, and I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit gave you this topic for us to share at this time, and we're praying for this revelation that will transform lives and get the children of God standing up in the position that they should be, as David was with Goliath, in terms of, no, we're going to fight. We pray in the name of Jesus that this is the position now that Christians are going to take. And we also declare new strength over those that have been very hurt. That the enemy has touched many things in your lives, but it's time now to understand that is not what God wants. And I'm not saying that every single thing that goes on in our life that we need to treat it as if the enemy is the one who has his hands over it. What I'm saying is we first of all have to be preventive. We need to pray. Before things happen, we need to pray and make sure that, you know, we claim the territory God has given us and we protect what God has given us. Just as we close windows and close doors, things in our lives that we close, windows and doors, because God is not asking his children to go into boxing rings and just let the enemy beat you up and destroy you. No. That is not God's will for us. So it is time for this army, this remnant that the Lord has for these end times to get up and take your place and understand that you are the one who has the authority. You are the one who has the victory. And this is not a message that the enemy wants you to hear, much less believe. But it is time for us to believe the word of God and start using, learning how to use the weapons and the things that God has given us so that we can truly walk in victory. And it is true, we will maybe get here and there a couple of punches, but you know what? God has given us the strength to learn how the next time not to get punched the same way. And as a matter of fact, to show the enemy that we are the ones who have the authority, the victory, and we are the ones who know how this battle ends. We win, he loses.
Amen. You know, as we've often said before in previous podcasts, that faith can only begin where the will of God is known. If you don't know that he's giving you the victory and giving you authority over the devil, then you're not going to be walking in that kind of authority, because you're going to have the victim mentality. You're going to expect that everything that happens bad in your life, when it does come from him, is being allowed by God because he's there to try to teach you some lesson or is something that's for your good. You know, that scripture in Romans 8:28 is so misused in so many ways that, you know, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, that statement is true because that's the word of God, but how it's being misused in terms of, well, the devil brought cancer and killed my mother. Well, God used that for good because look at the people who got saved at her funeral. Well, you know what? It don't take a funeral to get people saved. You know, if that's the case, then you know, we could say the same thing. Well, maybe that needs to happen to us so people get saved at our funeral. No, how about we live 30 more years and get multitudes of more saved because we're able to reach out and win the lost by going out to where the lost are at and sharing the gospel and also bringing the gifts of the Spirit and delivering them from the bondage that they're in. See, I see more people getting saved from the miracle working power of Jesus than I do see them from getting saved at someone's funeral.
That is a very good point.
So there's a lot of this misunderstanding about the nature of God and why God allows things. And hopefully in this series, we can clear some of that up, you know, for what God has taught us.
So
I'm so thankful that God has given me this wonderful woman and to be my wife. And she's such a, not only is she very beautiful, but she's also a great asset to my life spiritually. And I'm so thankful for her. We are like so on like-minded on these topics. And it's so beautiful that we can come together and have podcasts and talk about these things. So we're going to end this particular one, the first part here, and we'll pick up the next one in part two. But before we do that, as is my custom, I want to allow my sweetheart to make the invitation to the lost so that they can come to know the Lord.
Now, we cannot close this podcast without giving you the greatest news that you will ever listen to in your whole life. And it's that Jesus loves you. And what does that mean? What does that mean in a personal way? It means that you were born separated from God. You were born with sin. You were born in a condition that you cannot save yourself from. But the good news is that Jesus came to save you. And the invitation is that if you admit that you are a sinner, as we all have, and you confess that Jesus is the Son of God and He can save you from that sinful nature, guess what? He does. You invite Him into your heart. You make that exchange. He gives you His life. You give Him your sins, and you then become a child of God, and you are adopted into the family of God, and you will then receive all the things that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for so that you and I can enjoy. So make sure you make that wonderful decision today. Say yes to Jesus and love Him the way He wants you to love Him.
Amen, sweetheart. You really just put the capstone on this podcast, and it's such a blessing. So without further ado, we'll quit and close it up here, and we'll talk to you the next time. God bless everybody, and stay tuned. There's more great podcasts to come.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.